to leave out, some things that I'd like to do but I can't do. And one of the things is this: we're going over our prophetic history, and there's people behind every event. There's people that sowed into an event, that used their strength to see it happen. And one of the things that I got a lot of feedback about is like, man, this is so good. Do you know who that was that was involved with this? And I actually do know who they were, and I want to honor them. But for the sake of what I'm trying to do, that's not what this is about. And I do want to honor those that sowed in. I want to recognize, we need to recognize there's people behind these events. But what I'm trying to do with this is look at what the Lord is doing, and he's doing it through people, but specifically that we would look at this is something that God did, that God's doing. And I honor so many. I just think, and I think of names like Angie Crow and Al DeBoer and Sharon and Doug White and different people that have just been a big part of all the stuff the Lord has done. And I want to honor them. I love honoring people, but for this, what we're looking at is just a timeline, and there is names attached to events. But what we're hoping to do together is kind of say, what is our calling based on this? And so we left off in 2003. Last week, and I do have to say, I have some major typos in here. Everybody say this with me: cleansing stream, not cleansing streams. I make that error all the time, and you guys can remind me. Cleansing stream, no S. One stream, the blood of Jesus. So that's my fault. You can cross off all the S's and then correct me from now on, because I'll probably throw the S in there and not mean to. And also, I was informed that the church was actually founded, Community Bible Church was founded in 1977. They didn't move into the building till 1980. So I was 3 years off on that. If you want to correct your notes, you can. So I asked you to bring back part one. If you need part one, Clint can hand it out. It's right there next to you, buddy. How many of you need part one? Forgot to bring it or didn't get it from last week? Okay, let's hand out part one. And we're going to pick right up in 2004, where we left off. And 2004 was a huge... because we will need both mics. Thank you. 2004 was a big year, okay, for this church family. In 2004, they changed the name to Restoration Fellowship, restoring all that was lost, neglected, forgotten, or stolen. Okay, now here's something significant that we got to understand about the way that God does things. God's into names, and he's into changing identities through names. But what he does is he recognizes sometimes what already is, and he changes the name to what already is or what it has been. And sometimes he changes the name to call out what should be. Okay, in 2004, I believe that what happened was the Lord changed the name to something that what already was. And you saw through our prophetic history a progression of this church family kind of shifting from Community Bible Church to Restoration Fellowship. And in 2004, just saying, hey, this is really who we are. And changing the name to Restoration Fellowship. Thank you, Greg. And they had, on 2004, and what I think you'll see is when they changed that name, the Lord made a shift and opened some doors that was, I believe, waiting for that identity change. So one of the things that happened in 2004 was they had their first cleansing stream retreat here. And when that happened, Al's counseling dropped 70%. I just think that's so significant, just as a pastor going, unbelievable that you would see that kind of a shift. And then what happened as well in 2004 was a real strong sense to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I wasn't, you know, part of that, I'm not exactly how it goes down, so I'm going to have Al share a little bit, just quickly share how that came about. But that was a significant change, that they would publicly, you know, identify that we are standing in prayer for Israel with what they did with the flag. So just give us a little bit about that Isaac and Ishmael word and what the focus was.
Well, at that time, there was a huge deal going on with recognizing the Palestinians, and should there be a Palestinian state, much like we have today. And all at once it dawned on us as leaders that we needed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And so what we did is, to symbolize that, we got a Palestinian flag and an American Israeli flag, and we put them side by side. Now, that didn't come without any controversy. There was a little controversy with that. But yet, at the same time, the purpose was to see that prophetically, one day, there will be peace in Jerusalem, and Isaac and Ishmael will come together.
Good, good. Okay, so then we received a prophetic word. It said this: in the coming days, God will confide in us more and more of his plans for restoration fellowship and all the churches and people of God in Pagosa Springs. He will restore and reconcile. Now notice that this word didn't come till they changed the name, even though they knew that's who they were. I love that the Lord did that, just to confirm, boom. He will restore and reconcile. And that is that forerunner spirit. We talked about that, restoring, preparing the way. Malachi 4:6, returning the hearts of the fathers to the children and children of the fathers. That's what that forerunner spirit does. We will see a spirit of division fall, and the spirit of God and his unity and oneness come about. And this person, as the Lord was giving this word, they could hear rain falling. I turned and looked the other direction to see the rain, but it was only hearing it in my mind. And the Lord said, I will bring the nations to Pagosa. Now that word, here's what I want you to notice. When you get home, go through these prophetic words. Find me one without water in it. I mean, it's something significant. When the Lord speaks to Pagosa, there's something, streams, rivers, rain, water, something. And that is part of the uniqueness of Pagosa, the water of life, the hot springs here, the springs of living water. Okay, now 2007... there's a prophetic word that's given. And this one kind of really, for this leadership team, kind of stands out as a real, you know, one of the stronger words, real sense. Oh, this is for sure the Lord, and has been one that you've heard from the front. I mean, I've been coming here for 4.5, 5 years, and I've heard Al say this 100 times, probably. So this is one, okay? The Lord desires Pagosa Springs to be a watering hole to the nations. You are sending people to the nations, and I will send the nations to you. Enter into the deep waters of the river of life. Now remember that first prophetic word. You know, at the very beginning, it was a river, right? And the verse was Ezekiel 47, the river of life coming from the throne, and that we were walking into that river. And it was turbulent. There were people that were scared to go into that river and various things. Enter into the deep waters of the river of life. I'm calling you to jump into the waters of aggressive intercession, evangelism, and spiritual warfare outside of your church-building walls. To enter into the river, you must live a set-apart life. That's that same, that's forerunners. Okay, they live separate, set apart. Ask me for deep intimacy, a greater measure of my spirit, and strive to enter my rest. You guys remember Brandon Hammonds? When he came and he said, what does that mean? If he says, if the Lord says, come all you are weary and I will give you rest, what he actually said is, come all you are weary and I will tell you who you are. Okay? So enter your identity and I will send the nations to Pagosa. They will take back what they received from you to the nations they're from, and I'll make you a true watering hole to the nations. I'm backing up just for fun. Go up one word. We will see the spirit of division fall, and the spirit of God as unity and oneness come about. Now, that word was given in 2004. Now, let me tell you, for Pagosa Springs, not just for this church family, but for Pagosa, that was a year of huge division. There was all kinds of contention, not only the the folks from Community Bible Church didn't like the name change, didn't like where it was going, and weren't comfortable with it. There was division there. There was some stuff going on in other churches. To get this word, the spirit of division is going to fall. I mean, would have had to have been a breath of fresh air, I would think. And I believe that we have seen this word come to pass. I think something so significant that happened yesterday. We had Grace Fellowship in here. They had a new pastor. They were interviewing him and asked if I could, you know, we could open up the church and have him do that. And I said, absolutely. And this young guy comes to me. And by the way, his major heart is fasting and prayer and radical intimacy with Jesus. So we kind of like each other. And if he gets the job, it wasn't a for sure thing. But he looked right at me, and he just, there was immediate, he goes, man, you know, if I do get this, I want to partner with what the Lord's doing with the church. So to even see the Lord bring someone, I mean, stepping into a church that's his main thing, and looking at me and going, actually, what I think I'm here for is to see that unity grow. Oh, you know, it was awesome. So I hope that he gets the job. And Lord, right now, even as he's preaching, yeah, we pray that you would guide and direct Grace Evangelical Free Church right now to know if this is the guy that you've sent to be their pastor, and that you would confirm it, and that you would cause unity to be there this morning, if this is your will, in Jesus' name. All right. Now, what happened, we get this word in 2007, and that there's going to be a touching of the nations. Now, our primary way that we've seen that is by sending missionaries from this church family to the nations, and by having some missionaries come that were from the nations to us to have be supported by us. But something significant happened in 2007. I'm going to have Clint come up here, and Lisa, if you want to, you can come up as well. But I don't know if you guys tied this together, that we got that word, that we would be, touching nations with the watering hole of what he's doing in this church family as far as the restoration and restoring, and you guys took Cleansing Stream to the nation. And I know that it's bigger than that, that you've got a heart, this is just, that's nothing compared to where you want to see, but kind of talk about how that came about, and you're partnering with Cleansing Stream here, and all of a sudden, the nations gets dropped, and you say, could you bring this to people that don't even speak your language? I mean, tell me a little short clip, what was that like?
Well, I could open a can of worms with that. I grew up in a Hispanic community, and because of the prejudice that I grew up with, I became very, very prejudiced of the Hispanic people, and I didn't even, I spoke Spanish very, very well. And I made a vow that I would never speak their language again because of the stuff that I went through with it. But in saying that, God has a sense of humor. This was before I knew Christ. And God has done, through Cleansing Stream Ministries, a tremendous, tremendous healing in my heart. And in saying that, he has now put it on Lisa's my heart to take this for healing and restoration of the things that the enemy has stolen to the nations, and to show them that we as different races can come together and agree on stuff. And it's interesting in saying that, as I made the vow years and years ago and quit speaking Spanish, now the Lord is putting me in every Spanish-speaking community you can imagine. And it's coming back to me very slowly, but it's not as easy as it used to be. So the way it happened is we were in a retreat in Albuquerque, and the International Cleansing Stream pastor by the name of Raymond Pettit was looking for somebody to go to Colombia and just be with him and help him with whatever was going on there. And the doors just gotten, all we did was say yes, we'll do that because we see the benefit of it. And it's just gone crazier and crazier from there. And doors are opening now in Slovenia. They're taking stuff into China, different places. So there's a lot of stuff opening up still. And we're just along for the ride and just keep saying yes. And it's fun to see what the Lord is doing.
So for me, I'm a homebody. So when the Lord said, you need to go on a mission trip, I went, I don't think so. So it's really been a process. It wasn't a one day, we're going to do it. God did work. We went several mission trips to South America and Mexico. And then he opened the door to Cleansing Stream, as Clint shared. And the further we go with it and say yes, the more the Lord opens the door. So it's really about obedience. Because when he says, go do this, you don't know where that's going to lead.
Yeah, here's my guess, and I'm just speaking out of turn. But for us, for me, as I think missions, I think evangelism. Yeah. You know, and so was it a kind of like an eye-opener? The Lord says, I'm going to send you to the nations, but for Cleansing Stream, rather than to see, you know, do an evangelistic Billy Graham thing.
Well, the first several times we went on a mission trip, it was evangelism and construction. I'm not an evangelist, so it was very difficult for me because I want to see people set free that are already saved, if that makes sense. It's just a different twist. So the first few times it was hard, but then when it opened up and said we can mix Cleansing Stream with a mission trip, and it was like, yeah, the thing I love to do here, let me do there. And to see the people receive healing, receive hope, receive deliverance is amazing.
But there is evangelism involved in this too.
Yeah.
When we do our mission trips, as the last one we showed a little clip of our video, we did a lot of water activities. But the amazing thing with every one of those activities is every time we went out into the public, there was always somebody. It was like they see something going on in the group of people, and they're like, I want that. And we'd end up praying for people all over the beaches and everywhere we went. So it's kind of a mixture of both, but it's more setting people free and watching them walk in the freedom that the Lord has for them.
Yeah. So here's what I want to do. Just recognize. Stay up here, guys. Let's just stop. Just stand there for a second. Perfect. Here's what I want to recognize. Cleansing Stream is something that the Lord is doing through this church family. There's individuals that are leading the charge on that. And you might be like, hey, I'm just not even who I am. But what you can't do is picture yourself not a part of it, because you're part of this church family. And so I believe that we're going to see a greater expression of Cleansing Stream going to the nations. I believe it'll be through you guys primarily leading it. But this is not a Clinton Lisa thing. This is a calling that the Lord has on this church family to either participate, support, pray for, however, engage with this calling. All right, thanks, guys. Great. 2008, Friday night prayer meetings. So just keep this in mind. In 2008, Friday night prayer meetings start with mostly young people, and what it probably was, and I don't have confirmation on this. If I get a nod from somebody, where's a young person that would know? Where's Ryan? Jessica? Nothing. They're all teaching kids. All right. You guys remember that they started an after-school program where they taught kids how to worship and to engage with the Lord. 2008, I believe these kids were in a place through their training where they just ran with it and did, you know, worship. Now, sometimes these prayer meetings would go all night long. And this would eventually become Healing Waters House of Prayer, which was the prayer expression for this church family as far as corporate prayer. And so those Friday night meetings started in 2008, 8 years ago. Young people and a few older people, but mostly young people, would contend every Friday night and sometimes go way, you know, all the way through till the morning. And I believe that was huge to birth what we now have in the Pagosa Springs Community Prayer Center. So it starts out that way. It starts out that way. Cleansing Stream, now notice it was the young people. Cleansing Stream's ministry to the nations through the Quillers in 2008. We just looked at that, and the regional Cleansing Stream's influence started in 2007. So that's when people outside of, you know, Pagosa Springs and Restoration Fellowship came to a Cleansing Stream retreat here. 2009. Oh, and you can pencil in, this is important. In 2008, somewhere in there, the food ministry started here. Now, why is that important? Why is that something that the Lord did? Because if you are called to be an area of refuge, you're probably going to need a little bit of food. Okay, and so he put this on some people's hearts and they went after it. And this thing has grown, and I believe that it's because, not just a good thing to do, but it's because it's part of our identity and calling. 2009, we got a prophetic word. There was a guy that was just south of town, and he got a vision of an angel army, and it really struck him, and he wasn't from here. And God has, and then the Lord spoke to him about this army. And why was the army in Pagosa? He was puzzled because, in fact, the people of where he was staying, where he saw the angel army, there was a lot of fleshly stuff going on. And he's just like, why is there this kind of blessing here? And the Lord said, it's because of the calling of this city. God has anointed Restoration Fellowship to be the hub over this city. It's not us, it's a city. But he's asking us to lead. An entire area between the San Luis Valley to Cortez. That's Highway 160. Okay? I told them that God had placed them to be a safe place, a place of refuge, as an underground railroad depot or way station. I felt the Lord stress how important it is to prepare for tough times ahead. Now notice, the year before, he gave us the food pantry, before we got this word. I believe that the Lord would raise up Restoration Fellowship as forerunners, imagine that, a strong and fervent Zionist friend, and that's where I stole that language here this morning, Zionist friend of Israel and Jews to help lead the church in their city into its destiny. So it's not just us, but he's called us to be leaders. How many of you are seeing some recurring themes from 1992 to 2009 there? I mean, it's just black and white. At the end of this, if we don't declare that the Lord has said we're forerunners in a place of refuge and healing and deliverance, we have totally missed what he's been doing for 20 years. Okay? 2012, a prophetic word came. This is an important one, and I didn't think it was till I reviewed the history. It was a word that we've got. You're about to receive a ministry of fire. When you go back to the mountains in Colorado, angels of fire will come and light on the mountains. Get ready. There will be messages of fire and words of fire going forth through the church. It will then spread through the state of Colorado and launch into other states from there. The priests did not only have a ministry of blood, but they had a ministry of fire. Get ready. Make room for the young people that are in your church. You'll need to get ready and figure out how you'll oversee. And the way that was received was kind of, we think it means organize or administrate the move of God. Now, we're charismatic. When we hear fire, we think, you know, not a fire that's actually burning. We think of Holy Spirit and people shaking and getting healed and people prophesying in tongues and all that. And I want to propose to you that's not what this guy meant. He said the priests have a ministry of fire. And so in Leviticus 6, we see the priests had a ministry of fire. And what that was the fire on the altar. They were contending and were in place to make sure that that fire never went out and that they were to put sacrifices on the altar. Okay, it speaks of two things. That fire never going out speaks of ongoing, continual communion with God. And the sacrifices on the altar were intercession. Okay? That was the priestly call of fire and blood. Okay? Now, if we interpret it that way, this is what you would read it. You're about to have a ministry of communion with God, of intimacy with Jesus, and intercession. When you go back to the mountains in Colorado, angels of intercession and communion with God, intimacy with Jesus, prayer and worship, let's put it that way, messages of prayer and worship, messages of communion and intimacy with Jesus in 2012. Now, I was here at that time, I had just moved, And we had although I had no idea that this word, it would have actually been really helpful, Al, if you would have told me about this. I had some leaders from IHOP come and stay at our place, and they're high up at IHOP. And I was having coffee one morning, and now at the time, we had those Sunday, you guys remember the Sunday prayer meetings? You know, two people right after church for a couple hours, and we'd go for it. And that was coming right off of those Friday night meetings. We moved it to Sundays because we were hoping that, you know, more people would be engaged right after church. And I think it worked a little bit, but, you know, let's just face it, you know, corporate prayer meetings are difficult to maintain with big numbers and sustain. But my whole paradigm of, from moving from IHOP, I had a prayer room of 200 people at a time, all day long, 24/7, to this, where we had 2 hours of about 8 or 10 people on Sunday. And I'm sitting across from this guy, and he says to me, "My wife and I had a dream last night, and IHOP U is supposed to bring their strength around you because the Lord wants to do something unique in Pagosa with the prayer room." And that's the word he used, with the prayer room. And I said, "I really appreciate that, but you got to understand, we have a 2-hour prayer meeting every Sunday, about 10 people. I mean, you can send me strength, but, you know, I don't know what you're after here, but we're not anywhere near the kind of people that you could send strength through." And I'm thinking, I just know of multiple houses of prayer that are fully funded with a lot of missionaries, you know, praying all the time and getting strength from IHOP, you know, as far as sending people to help them. But I just thought, I don't even know what you'd do if you send me people to help me. We got a 1 prayer meeting a week for 2 hours. What would they do? You know, just move to town and get a job and, you know, have a 2-hour expression of why they're here. But he was adamant. We're going to help you. The Lord said it. And I said, okay. I really didn't think he'd follow through. If I'd have known this word, I might have responded better. 2013, they send 30 IHOPU students to Pagosa Springs. You guys remember that? They came for 1 week. It was in here. They stayed with people from the community. We did 1 week, about 60 hours of prayer and worship, along with teaching to help establish a prayer room. And the event was held at Restoration Fellowship and mostly directed towards this church family. Backing up, so IHOP, how many of you guys know IHOP's a big deal as far as the prayer movement in the nations, okay, in the world? People are like, oh, IHOP is, you know, the Mecca. And so for them to send 30 students here is just so significant. They have people, big organizations, saying, "We'll send you money, we'll send you whatever, if you would just send us a couple students. We really need help. We would like help." And I'm going, "I don't think you should send them." And he sends them. And it's 1 of 8 student trips come to Pagosa. Like, the other ones went to, like, Atlanta, Georgia, where there's a 24/7 house of prayer. I mean, like, that makes sense to send them there. And, you know, and going back, even some of the student feedback, you know, hearing about the places they would go, 500, 600 standing in intercession, and they're strengthening them. And the students that went to Pagosa, they come and they say, "Yeah, we were just at this little church and it was real family friendly. And there's, you know, there was 50 of us." And it was just going to be a great contrast. But the Lord said it, right? And so that happened. And also, we had an addition to our food ministry, TFAP, the Emergency Food Assistant Program. Interesting title that we brought under the Restoration Fellowship banner as an outreach ministry that we support, and there's leaders that do this. I mean, you guys are part of this. It's that Monday TFAP. That was added in 2013, and it's called the Emergency Food Assistance Program. I just think that's so, again, prophetic. 2014, now 40 IHOPU students come. Again, if I was a leader at IHOP, and I've sent kids and they touched 600, you know, and 1,000 people at a time, and then I sent 30 kids and they touched about 20, 30 folks. And I would say, logically, I would probably take those kids and pour them into another outlet where they're going to have a greater increase of ability to serve. But what they did is they upped their ante and sent us 10 more. And I got that same phone call from him saying, we want to send you more students. And I said, buddy, we're in the same place, kind of. We're doing one prayer meeting, and man, I appreciate the kind of strength you want to send me, because we're sending you 40 students this time. And there was a little bit of an opening to see a community involvement, and so we shot for a neutral location where the community, the church in Pagosa, wouldn't feel like it was under the banner of a certain church, and it was at the hotel. And the students were split up between the churches. And we begin to see that word that came in 2000, what was it, 6 or 7? No, 4. That the Lord was going to, the spirit of division would fall and there would be unity. And it is undeniable that the Lord built that unity in this city around prayer and worship. With Praise Fest, with the prayer room, with pastors meeting and praying together. That's all they had. They weren't going to get along on doctrine stuff. But they met, said, we're praying together. We value prayer and worship, and it's going to hold us together. 40 IHOPU students come for 1 week. The mission and the structure are about the same. They did a week straight. However, this time it was in the hotel room and attended by multiple churches in the city. 2014, a big year, really a big year. So 1994, the shift to accepting the ministry of the Holy Spirit. 2004, 10 years later, changing the name to Restoration Fellowship, getting an identity of greater identity of places of refuge for Israel and prayer. 2014, 10 years after that, those 40 IIPU students and the city gathers under the banner of prayer and worship for a week. And then we got this word that right after that, the students were here. This is a crazy day for me. Can I be honest with you? I wasn't a real city of refuge guy. Every place that I had ever been to that was charismatic believed they were a city of refuge, and what it meant to them was some kind of a glory zone. And I was like, I just want to die for Jesus. I don't want to be in a city of refuge. I really want to die for him. I want to suffer for him because he suffered for me, and I want to use my life to love him the way that he loved me. And I was just against that idea. And even, I had heard it, right? I mean, look at the prophetic history. I'd heard it, and I'm just going, city of refuge again. I mean, I want to be that church, you know, of, what is it? One of the, Smyrna, or Church of Smyrna, where the Lord goes, stay faithful to death. I want that one. No, I'm serious. That's who I am. And anyway, so this word just bothered me. It really did, to be honest with you guys, from my own heart. Not in a bad way, but I was just like, I don't want to be in that community. I mean, I know that sounds really bad, but it was a pain for me. I really wanted to die for the Lord. And maybe I still will, even in a city of refuge. I hope so. This happened, and this changed everything for me personally. So on July 27th, this is when it happened. Now, 2 weeks prior, we had met as a team for this prayer room meeting, and our prayer leader says, or our worship leader says, I want to pray for Israel. I said, great, let's do that. And so it's planned. 2 weeks ahead of time, we're going to pray for Israel that Sunday for House of Prayer. And so right after church, like always, we start going, and right before that, I get this email on my cell phone, and I look at it, and it's about a guy named Stephen Burke. And this guy named Stephen Burke, was coming, and I thought the date was that Sunday. He was coming to Pagosa because he had believed that the Lord had given him real clear direction to go and tell Pagosa Springs that it's an area, a city of refuge, specifically for Jewish people in a time of persecution. I get the email, and I didn't even put it together, you know, that we were praying for Israel that day. And we begin to pray for Israel, and in walks about a dozen white-haired people, and they sit all in the back. Do you remember this, Mark? Yeah, you remember that. And so it's this empty, picture the church empty. I'm right up there. We got the mic, and we're praying. There's like two or three people right here, and then a dozen gray hairs in the back. We have no idea who they are. And we love the gray hairs, yeah. And I'm going, they, you know, they're coming to check out the prayer room, and we're going to pray for Israel, and they're not going to get it. Why are you praying for Israel? Like, you know, what is this? And so I, in my personal style, I go on this long, drawn-out thing where I'm talking about why we pray for Israel, and I'm citing Scripture, and I'm thinking, you know, Rory Burnett was worship leader. He's looking at me like, why don't you just pray? What are you doing? You know, and I'm trying to help them, you know, to understand what we're doing. And man, we start praying for Israel, and these people come untrained. They're crying and engaged and just praying with us for Israel. They come up and pray on the mic, fiery prayers. And I'm just like, what is this? And so I go up at the end, and I said kind of, hey, guys, thanks for coming. And like, who's in charge of this? What's going on here, you know? Where are you guys from? And here they're from New Mexico, and the guy in charge was a guy named Randall Westfall. And he kind of introduces himself. He says, I'm Randall Westfall. And he said, I said, man, thank you so much for coming to our prayer meeting. I said, how'd you hear about it? What are you doing? And he goes, well, we saw it on the website. He goes, I'm just going to be real honest with you. You might think I'm crazy. He goes, but I think... we have heard from the Lord that Pagosa Springs is going to be a city of refuge for Jewish people. So we're here to help strengthen the prayer movement because it's directly connected to your calling. And I said, I don't think you're crazy, you know, I've heard that before. And I said, I just got an email about you. Your name is Stephen Burke. And he goes, no, my name's Randall Westfall. I said, I've never heard of Stephen Burke. And I said, hold on, I just got this email saying this guy had heard from the Lord, Pagosa Springs is going to be here, and he's going to be here this week to talk about it. You're not him? No, I'm not him. I've never heard of him. I said, but you're here on the same day, yeah? Yeah, I guess so. It's the same day that Rory decided, hey, let's pray for Israel in 2 weeks. And I'm just going, my freak out mode is up here. And I go to freak to Mark, who can just calm me down. He's one of those guys, oh, you know, he's calm. And I'm freaking out. And I go to Mark. And I was like, dude, I'm freaking out. This is... We're praying for Israel. These guys are from New Mexico. They have never met us. And they're here to pray for Israel specifically. They didn't even know we were praying for Israel that day. They just showed up. All right? And it wasn't like we prayed for Israel a lot. We did it now and again, but it wasn't like normal. And, you know, so I'm like, this is happening. And I got this email. This Stephen Burke guy is coming. And I think he's going to be here tonight. And Mark, instead of calming me down, goes, oh, you know what's really cool? He goes, there was this individual that, you know, years ago came and was part of this church family and contended with us over and over that Pagosa Springs was to be an area of refuge. And various things happened, life happened, and we have not seen this individual in this church family for years. And he goes, they were here today. So Mark helped me freak out. But I mean, that is so significant. So significant. That week, July 27th, when that happened, that those, we decide to pray for Israel. We don't normally do it. This church from Socorro shows up. I drove, whatever, 4 hours to get here. You know, come in. They didn't even know we were praying for Israel, but that's why they were here. And then the Stephen Burke guy comes, same week. We have to acknowledge that's the Lord. There is no possible explanation. And then that individual that just showed up. And Mark goes, yeah, they just cried the whole time and left. But I mean, it was the Lord. All right. And we get this word that week from Stephen Berg. And I'll throw a name in there. He gave us this word. This is probably, in my opinion, the most significant word because it ties every word together in a paragraph. So let's read this. The Lord is preparing an underground railroad. We heard that a couple of years before from a guy that doesn't even know who he is. For persecuted Jews and other distressed nations, Pagosa Springs and the surrounding area will be part of a network of areas of refuge. At the center of every area of refuge must be a prayer room. Now, this guy is not from Kansas City. He is not part of a prayer room. He got a direct word from the Lord. He was not even in the stream where he would believe in prophecy. And the Lord plucked him up and showed him things, and he's been talking about it ever since. But the Lord said, Pagosa Springs. Anyway, there must be a prayer room, a place dedicated to a personal intimacy with Jesus. The prayer room will be a place where the city receives insight from the Lord during a time of great crisis that's coming, and people will be in great need of emotional, spiritual, physical healing, and rest. That is every word from 1970 to here summed up in a paragraph. The Lord is preparing. There's that forerunner. Persecuted Jews, distressed nations, area of refuge, prayer room, intimacy with Jesus, ministry of fire, emotional, spiritual, and physical healing, cleansing stream. Boom. One sentence. One paragraph. This guy, by the way, Stephen Burke, has no history with Restoration Fellowship. None. When he came and shared that word. Leadership team feels strongly. This is the leadership team kind of as a whole in 2014. Feels strongly that the Lord is putting an emphasis on Restoration Fellowship becoming. And the phrase that he dropped in our hearts was culture of prayer. Fostering that culture in the city of Pagosa Springs. What we saw was it cannot be just the prayer room. Because the prayer room doesn't exist if there's not a praying people. We could build it, you can have, you know, a lot of support to have the prayer room, but if there's not a praying people, they don't have a conviction and a normal expression of corporate prayer, you don't need a prayer room to have an outlet for it. And so we were like, this culture of prayer, the Lord is going to do something where it's multi-generational, it's normal, that it's in our culture to be contending in corporate prayer and worship. And that was the year that the Lord really prepared this leadership team. And we didn't talk about it a whole lot, but the Lord prepared the leadership team that there was a transition coming. How many of you guys remember 2014, we went to St. Louis? It's important. I didn't put it on here because it's not necessarily, it's significant that in 2014, again, there's dates that every 10 years, significant things. And then senior boxes were added to Food Outreach Ministries in 2014. I've got two prophetic words and we're done, and I'm going to hit them. 2015, the grand opening of the Pagosa Springs Community Prayer Room with worship and prayer roughly going 14 hours a week, and it has not stopped. In 2014, we started. It's now 2016, and we've been going about a year. There's multiple church involvement. Now, you guys know me. I'm a prayer room guy. I'm a prayer room, you know, believer. But I believe this, that the culture of prayer finds its expression in the home. Okay? So when I talk about that, when I talk about our destiny being connected to prayer and worship, I'm talking about it being so normal to the family unit that it's not a thing that we do, it's a thing that we are. But it's significant to recognize that this happened, and it's happening. What's significant, in my opinion, about this is that it right now has 6 different churches involved in praying in that little building. And a couple of years ago, I could not have imagined that would be the case. You could definitely not imagine that would be the case in 2004. That, hey, in just a few years, all you guys are going to come together and pray in the same building. Normally for a year. And look beyond the division. So, 2015, I got installed. That's, you know, obviously shifting things in this church family and changed some things. But it hasn't changed that many things, I don't think. Maybe it has. I love that our leadership team is still, man, we made it through. The Lord has so blessed the transition. You know, it just doesn't go that way. A lot of times the guy that's been here for 20 years, he's gone. You know, or there's some kind of awkward tension going on. It's some kind of weird, got to set up boundaries because this guy wants the mic more than he should. And just, we didn't have to do that. I'm so thankful. Now we got this word in 2015. Time of trouble is coming. It's time to seek the Lord in a new and a fresh way. Listen for his voice. Step out in faith. He'll meet you. Now is the time to be one. That is a word I believe not just for this church. And it's something the Lord is doing in this country right now. He's bringing a unity to the church. The kingdom of darkness is after the individual family. How many of you guys know that? That word was given in 2014. And man, the family has come under attack. My own family. Various things. But that's where he's going, because it's easier to get into the family, into the normalness of life, than the couple events, the Sunday morning event, prayer room event, or whatever it might be, the Azusa Now event. It's way easier to get you in the monotony of life. It's time to contend in worship and prayer, I believe, as a family. It's time to declare that Pagosa Springs is dedicated to the Lord as a city of refuge. It's the first time we've gotten this word. Stand on the word that the Lord has given you, and actually declare it and believe it to be so. Now, I know you've done that to a measure, but I think we're going to see an increase of that. I saw a real picture yesterday, and I'm sorry I'm bunny trailing a little bit, but it was so clear. And what I felt like the Lord was going to do with this church family is give us an ability to walk in our calling that, hey, let's face it, we are a little bit radical. I get that, compared to the normal expression. And we've done one of two things. We've either been kind of awkward about that and ashamed about it, or we've been so overzealous we shove it down people's throats. Right? And I believe the Lord's bringing something for us. And some of, I'm not saying we all do this, but I'm just saying I've seen that happen. My own life, and you know, just in that stream that we're in. And I believe the Lord's bringing a real sense of unity for the individual church families to be themselves. To not be ashamed about it, but to not shove it down their throats. And say, until you get on our team, you don't have it right. Or I'm real scared to actually be who I am because I think you won't like me. Okay? I just really think there's something coming for this church family and to walk in this identity. We're going to be able to say, without weirdness, the Lord's called us to be a city of refuge to people that may not get it. Okay? And still be able to be their best friend in high fives and hugs. All right? And run with them, with the Lord. It's time to declare Pagosa Springs is dedicated to the Lord as a city of refuge. Praise and worship will precede the move of the Lord in this hour. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. I am with you. 2016, I've made you. This is the first time we had this kind of language. So the Lord was building and building and building. I'm calling you to be watering hole, area of refuge. We got this word in 2016. I have made you a spring of living water. Your waters will flow all directions and touch many people, nations. It's time to press into humility as I lift you up. The nations will begin to seek you out because you have something that's totally different. Do not try to use the same structure or method that you did in the past or a pattern that someone else does. I think we need to remember that word. It is a new day. I'm doing a new thing. You are a forerunner ministry, and I will join you to Israel in a new and clear way. It's time to move forward with fresh vision, and I'm going to pour out my spirit in a new way upon you. And finally, this. It's not just a new year, it's a new season. The season of promise is here. Now, what I see is all these words, seeing a greater culmination of them coming to pass, is the way that I interpreted that. The season of promise. We're going to begin to understand how we actually respond to our calling to be a friend to Israel. And in the practical, how we actually respond to a greater measure in the practical of being the church family in the city that the Lord has given the mantle of healing and deliverance. And really seeing that go to the city and to the nations. This season will shape the decisions and destinies of many. Find my voice and pursue it. Do not relent until you have the fullness. I love that, I mean, I had no idea that this word, and then we were doing that, we just got done with our sermon series about we're contending for the fullness of our calling. Don't relent till you have the fullness. It's time now to set your hands to the plow and not look back. Isaiah 40:31, which you shall mount up with wings like eagles, shall run, not faint, you shall walk and not be weary. Okay, amen. All right, worship team, if we have one. We have somebody that can plunk. Tony's here. We got a worship team. How many of you guys know that Tony Tuller is a worship team all by herself when the Spirit's on her? There's Ryan. All right, we got it. So let's all stand. And here's what I did is I just took the major themes, okay, after this, and I put verses behind them to support them and verses we were given. I just kind of summed it up into major themes. Now, what we'll do as a leadership team is we're going to take these major themes and we'll try to put them all together as best we can to kind of a definitive vision statement, okay? This is who we are. Now, our core values don't change with the core values we have on our card. The core values stay the same, you know, no matter what outreach or what we do. But our vision here, we're going to try to be real clear. And what we're looking at is taking this and saying it's time to be practical and say, how are we actually preparing ourselves to be a city of refuge just in the physical and the spiritual and those things in a greater way? How are we walking in this forerunner calling? Okay, and I want you to understand something. I'm not standing up here saying we're not doing this. I'm standing up here saying we're going to see a fuller effect of this. You guys have been doing this long before I got here. The Lord's been leading this church down this road. But I believe that 2016, we're going to see a greater, especially a practical implication. So I'm just going to read this as a declarative statement. And then later, we're going to do something even a little bit more as we come up with this. We'll have a real proclamation time, and we'll go after it as a team. But I'm just going to read this. Let's just bow our heads, get with the Lord. Let me speak this over this church. He has called us to be forerunners. He's given us a primary calling in healing and deliverance. We're to be intentional in discipleship, encouragement, and honor towards children and young people. We're to loose them in their calling at a young age to strengthen the body, to actually receive strength from children. We're called to foster and maintain a culture of prayer. This is who we are. This is the calling the Lord has said, will you do this? Pagosa Springs is destined by Jesus, not by any man, not by any church, to be a city of refuge that's part of an underground railroad to help Jews and others during a time of great persecution and crisis. And Jesus will raise up the church in Pagosa Springs to touch and strengthen the nations. The vision for this church family and for this city must line up with what Jesus has called us to be. By and through His direction, through His Holy Spirit, He is our leader and He has clearly spoken to us about these things. I just feel like we're in a moment right here. We got to respond like Isaiah and say, here am I. Lord, we say yes to these things in whatever capacity that we can. Given grace by Him to respond in even a greater capacity than we thought we could, but we have to have a yes. We have an intentional lifestyle behind it. That's our part. This is who we are. And we get the choice to say yes to what He's called us to be or to do something else. But I want to say yes, and I want to say yes with you this morning. So Lord, even now, just in this moment, we'll see a progression of it in the future where we'll stand up and declare this as a leadership team. But now here this morning, as we've looked over our prophetic history, Lord, we thank You for Your direction. We thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your calling that has called us to something so great that we could have never laid hold of it on our own. And we are humbled by that, that You have decided Pagosa Springs would be this, and we're here, weak and broken, and as we are. Greater is He who is in me. To accomplish the things that He has in His heart to accomplish.